Lord, thank you for that great example of a mother's love to her kids. And Lord, I thank you for all of our moms here at ECC this morning that we can honor and celebrate in some way today. Lord, we are all products of a mother, and we just humbly recognize that maybe today is a day that can be hard for some. Lord, maybe they had a distant mother. Maybe there's been conflict. Maybe there's been challenges. I just want to pray, Lord, that today could be a day where we lay those things at your feet. Lord, I also want to say thank you so much for the example of man and woman created very differently and uniquely, and yet together we get a full picture of who you are and the strength and the power and the love and compassion that you have given to us through Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to remember you and take these moments of drinking of the juice and eating the little bread that reminds us of the freedom that we enjoy and experience, and the grace that is offered to everyone did not come free. You paid the price for us, and we thank you so much for that incredible gift. Lord, I pray as we enter into Psalm 23 that you would just help us to open our hearts and minds to those truths that are there, and Lord, just allow each of us to be sponges as we soak up your word. Allow it to not just hit our minds, but also penetrate into our hearts, that we'd be transformed because of your truth. And we pray that together in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Well, I do want to welcome you in today, and again, happy Mother's Day. It's already been said a few times, but I do hope that you are at least going to be getting a gift. We have the basket there, and big thanks to Aubrey for putting those together. They look great, by the way. And also, I'll just invite you, if we have some extras, just to think about maybe a mom or someone that you could encourage with one of those little packets. We have extras. Take one with you, and then bless someone else with that as well, okay? So don't be alarmed. This is intentional. So what I want to do is kind of do a running ramp into our Psalm 23, where we're going to be today, by reminding us where we've been. Part of my intentionality of thinking through Psalm 23 and the timing of this is we have just spent the last several weeks looking at Matthew chapters 10, 11, and 12. And by the way, all of though that focus is all about Matthew writing the recounting of the disciples being sent out, being on mission, going and doing and partnering with God as the message of the kingdom of God had spread far and wide to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And so a lot of the sermons have been very like going oriented, being a part of the mission oriented, being part of what God's doing in and through your life. Now, this is not like a break from that, but this is an intentional soul check-in moment, okay? Because if you're like me, springtime in Wallowa County is a very busy season, all right? And so, you know, from farming to cattle to track and field to baseball to, you know, just weeds in your garden, okay? Like, there's plenty of things to be doing during the springtime in Wallowa County. And so the Psalm 23, I hope, hits all of us, right? That it isn't just something that because we're Christians and we've been pushing hard for the mission of God, but all of us can recognize like there was moments in time when we've been really busy, we've been really going, and we got to stop in and do a soul check-in. Because if you're like me, there's these tensions that come up. And for me, let's see, maybe we go back, guys. I think we skipped one, maybe. Nope, here, let's do this one. Yeah, there's the question. All right, am I doing enough? Are you? Am I? Do you ever have that moment where you're kind of like, every time you feel like, man, we've been going hard, we're feeling kind of worn out, all you have to do is look up at the horizon, and what do you see? More weeds, all right? More to do. All right, more ministry that needs to be done. Something else that someone else should have done, and it's not been done, so I guess I'll go ahead and add that to my plate. Can anybody relate? Am I doing enough? All right, that's a question that we often ask. But there's a tension, and this is where Psalm 23 being the check-in is, the spiritual dryness. Because we can be so busy, 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 that we forget that we're not human doings, we're human beings. And that being is about being present with the Lord, that we actually get the opportunity to sit in and rest in this great invitation that Jesus offers. And so that's why we're kind of looking at this, finding confidence, okay, in the shepherd's care. It's 5 weeks, only 6 verses, and we have the opportunity to kind of, I think, if we're willing to slow down and sit in these verses, I think regain some spiritual fervor. I think answer that question of, am I doing enough? And for many of us, probably so. But to be able to rest in that and to be spurred on to that. And I also want to recognize, like, on Mother's Day, of all days, moms know how busy life can be. I know our mom in our house, my wife Becky, knows exactly how busy life can be and the sacrifices that are there. And I hope that many of you get to truly celebrate a mom like Becky, right? That someone who is sacrificial, who is loving, who is caring, who's trying to raise up confident boys and keep a house and do all the right things and just love their family in the very best way, because that's who we get to celebrate in our house, all right? But as I mentioned in the prayer, and I'll just reiterate it again, I recognize that Mother's Day is a really hard day for some people. Like, and again, it could be because there's a fractured relationship to some degree with that. It could be that maybe, you know, you've been wanting to be a mom, but that hasn't been able to happen, and so then maybe Mother's Day is sort of like one of those kind of tough, awkward days. You know, maybe you're a mom here today, and yeah, you're being celebrated, but if anyone really knew how exhausted you truly were, like, that might shock some people, you know? Like, I don't know where Mother's Day lands for you exactly, but I know that it may be in somewhere in that ballpark, and I hope that Psalm 23 is a help and an encouragement to all of us who find ourselves in an extremely busy season. And so with that, I want to just read through the entire 6 verses of Psalm 23, and then we're going to spend the bulk of our day looking at verse 1. Okay, so here we go. Verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What a great psalm. And so we're going to have some fun digging through this verse by verse. But verse 1, let's just go ahead and start here, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That's 11 words in English, 8 in Hebrew. And we could probably spend a lifetime really unpacking what does this verse really mean for us today. The first word that I want to highlight here, and this is so important to David, who's the author of this, is that he uses the word my. Right, David is not saying that the Lord is a shepherd, although we could make the claim throughout the New Testament. Jesus claims to be the good shepherd, which is great, and that's fine, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying he is not just a shepherd, and he's also not saying that he is the shepherd, although that could be doctrinally sound as well. David is making a distinctive point, and if we miss this, then we miss the entire weight of Psalm 23. So don't miss this, all right? This is a personal claim. This is a relational claim that we have to understand. Before God is anything else to you, he must be yours. I'll say it again. Before God is anything else to you, he must be yours. You can believe in God. You can respect God. You can even admire Jesus and his teachings. But those are not the same thing as he is mine and I am his. And David starts there because it's this ownership language, this relationship language. It's voluntary. The shepherd does not drag his sheep, although some of us probably need and have been dragged from time to time by a good shepherd, okay, to get us to where we need to be. That's not what he's saying here. It's voluntary, and he leads those who are willing to be led. I'm thinking of John chapter 10, where Jesus picks up this imagery and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow See, there's a call, there's a recognition, and there's a following. There's a choice that I choose to follow this shepherd or not. Because the truth is, we can all walk our own path. We can all say whatever we want to say and say, oh, well, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And many people do. They lead themselves. And that's a choice that we make, right? But remember, the author of this simple but powerful psalm is also the guy who wrote in Psalm 32, not 23, but 32, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Day and night, your hand was heavy on me. David knows what it is to go his own way. David knows what it is to do his own, making his own rules for life. And here he comes back to these simple truths. I need to be led. Now, who is this King David, this person that we're talking about, this author? Now, here's just a little depiction of David. Now, before he ever got a crown, so we could call him King David, he spent years on the hillside shepherding sheep. And so I want us to make sure we have that in mind as well, that David isn't just writing this psalm metaphorically. I can only imagine that he's imagining himself back in those pasture days leading stubborn animals. I can only imagine that maybe he's reflecting on times when he protected his flock from a lion. That he knows firsthand what it is for a shepherd to search after the one lost sheep. And this is what we're getting here. Like this is what God does now to me, David's saying. That the one who once was leading is now being led. The shepherd becomes the sheep. And this is what I love about it, and this is so important for you, and frankly for me, I needed to hear this, because even the strongest, most capable person here today in the room or here in the county or whoever you might have come to mind, even those people still need to be led. Think about, David was a giant killer. Have any of us killed giants? He literally led armies. Have any of us led armies? He ran a kingdom. Has anyone done that? All of these things, he checked off of his list, and even here he is saying, I need to be led. I need a shepherd. I think Timothy Keller puts it well, it is not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. Strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. David knew which branch to grab. And especially in moments where he had to repent, and there's great psalms about that, there's this reality that he would keep coming back to my shepherd. There was a personal relationship that he had with the shepherd. Now, one thing I'll also note is he uses the word Lord here. Now, fun fact, in your Bibles or smartphones or tablets, whatever you're using to follow along today, if you ever see in your English Bible the word Lord all caps, that's important. It's important to take note, because in that, that's actually the Hebrew word for Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is the personal covenant name that God gave to Israel to be their God. And that's important, because this isn't some generic higher power Lord. This isn't some force in the universe that David is kind of just randomly calling out to. He is specifically addressing Yahweh is my shepherd. So the same covenant God who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, I am who I am, the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob called out to, the same one who split the seas and fed them in the desert, the same God, Yahweh, that provided for them is the same one that provides for us today. The God who keeps his covenant with Israel is the same God who shepherds you. And that's why I think it's so important to understand there is a relationship that's there. You're not just some footnote in the cosmos. You're not some afterthought. God is desiring to be your God and to shepherd you in a way that will lead you into a great future. And that matters to us today. And I mentioned this, so this might be a recap for some of you, because there's this sort of this movement, this underground movement, and it's to be aware of. Sociologist Christian Smith, years ago, did a study, about a massive study about the religious beliefs of American teenagers, and what he found was that most of them, even though ones that grew up in church, didn't actually believe in God of the Bible. And we talked about this phrase, moralistic therapeutic deism. All right, so that's the he's kind of coining this practical relationship with God. He and you might remember, here's how it goes: God exists, that's the deism part. God wants us to be nice, that's the moralistic part. And then God's main job is to make us feel good about ourselves. That's this therapeutic part. So moralistic, therapeutic deism, all right? That's what he's saying. Now, I'm not saying that he prescribes to this religion, but what he is saying is that basically a lot of Christians or people who say that they're Christians are living out their faith like this. Like, oh yeah, God exists, sure. Oh yeah, he wants me to be nice, so I better be nice. And yeah, I mean, I want to feel good about myself, and in the end, all works out. He kind of puts this in a way. He says, God is something like a combination divine butler and cosmic therapist. He is always on call, takes care of any problems that arise, and makes people feel good about themselves. All right, yeah, that's God, right? Well, that may be someone's God, but it's not the God of the Bible. See, and we've got to be really savvy to this, and this is why we do a soul check-in. This is why we take a moment and read through Psalm 23, so that way we don't get caught in this kind of thing. Because the God of the Bible reveals that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, we like that part of this verse, but we're now there's this expectation, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, can't you just save me? Can't you just help me out of slavery? What's this whole why can't I have multiple gods thing? Right? Or the invitation of Psalm 46, to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted above the earth. This is not a God who's just kind of waiting in the background, waiting for us to, you know, call upon him in our time of need. This is a God who's demanding to be recognized for who he actually is. All right? Even during our sin series, we looked at Matthew chapter 11, the very end of it. Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus is revealing that he is the good shepherd. He's inviting us into this. But notice, even in this invitation, there's a yoke, which we talked about when we went through the Matthew series, talking about partnership, that we're yoked together, doing life together with Jesus. He's walking side by side with us. There's a yoke involved. There's a partnership involved. There's surrender involved. There's learning involved. There's following involved in Jesus's great invitation. And so the God of moralistic therapeutic deism isn't asking any of this, isn't demanding to be recognized for who he is. But Psalm 23 says, your trust, your direction, your life, give it to me, and I will lead you into these green pastures. And so the shepherd isn't just a God to be managed. He's a God you surrender to. He isn't passive. He's active. He's not indifferent. He's intimate. And he says, I'm leading, and then he asks us a question. Will we follow? He's a gentleman. He's not going to drag his sheep, right? He's going to say, hey, I'm leading. Will you follow? And again, where does he lead us to? Well, spoiler alert, next week, come back, and we'll talk more about that, or you can just read the next two verses and kind of get an image of that. We'll find out more what that's going to be, but he leads us into these great places. Now, what I also want to recognize is the back half of this verse. So the Lord is my shepherd. And then David says, I shall not want, right? Or I have all my needs met. Now, when we read this just at the surface, some of us might be thinking, well, I have a lot of wants that I have, and so sweet, this sounds really good. I get everything I want when I say yes to Jesus. Isn't that what he's saying? Yeah. Maybe not. I have a lot of wants. I want a vehicle that doesn't make squeaky noises when I turn a hard left, right? I want to know why the Wi-Fi used to work really well until I moved to Alawa County. Someone answer me that. I want to know why. There's a lot of wants in life, right, that we have, and some are more pressing than others. But again, I mentioned 8 Hebrew words. Well, one of those 8 are this word kasar. Because it isn't just a matter of not having any wants. The word here is talking about to lack or to be deficient. So I am not deficient in anything. I will not lack anything that I need. And so the idea here is that when the Lord is your shepherd, you won't be left lacking what you actually need. Not what you wish for, not what looks good on Instagram, not what your neighbors have, what you need. And that's a humbling point to remember. But yet, that is the confidence that David is addressing in this psalm. Not that life is easy, not that every prayer gets a yes answer, but that the shepherd knows what I need better than what I think I need. And that's where this faithfulness provides. And that is wildly countercultural. We live in a world that constantly tells you what you're lacking. You watch a TV show and you've watched 10 commercials in between that TV show that have told you what you are lacking, right? I mean, we are really good marketeers and saying, hey, you need to buy this because this will fix all of your problems, won't it? We're constantly bombarded with what we don't have and what we think we should want. But the psalm reminds us to come back to the basics. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I want nothing. I'm not in need in those ways that the world constantly tells me that I am. And so the shepherd stays close to me. And I was thinking about moms on Mother's Day. And, you know, out of all the people who are constantly needed, Becky is way more needed than I am in our house, right? I mean, it is constant, relentless. You know, I need a ride here. Hey, where's my shoes? What can I have for a snack? Just the keeper of the schedule. Moms are notorious at finding everything that's lost, right? I mean, I can still remember as a kid my own mom. Like, she was never in the bathroom when I was in the bathroom, but she always knew that whatever I was looking for was probably on the seat of the toilet. All right, like, or on the back side, right, of the toilet. I just set it down. He said, well, did you check the bathroom? No, I hadn't checked the bathroom. Poof, mind is blown. How did you know? Moms always know where to find things, right? You know, and as moms, you know, here's what happens. You know, you pour out, and you pour out, and you pour out, and then you pour out a little bit more. And somewhere along the way, you might forget that you actually belong to someone, that you're not just always needing to be pouring out, that actually an example for your kids is part of this receiving from the Lord, this refreshment, this rest. And what an encouragement to know, not just for moms, but for everyone in here. As human beings, I belong to a shepherd before I belong to anyone. So maybe today we take heart in that. Now, dads, you might feel that pressure of the weight of provision or the pressure to hold things together or the sense of that everyone's looking at me for a game plan, so I got to have the answer. Or students in here. I know we're all on the clock, right? Like, oh, school cannot be done soon enough. All right, maybe some of you, right? Graduation's today, yeah. Right? We got a little, you know, some of you have finished up, wrapped things up, right? But you've had expectations of teachers, of parents, of coaches, of friends, and those voice of, am I doing enough? Have I put in enough time? Business owners, employees, caregivers, volunteers, right? Like, you know, there's constant tension. Anyone who's ever carried a weight of someone else, another person, like, right? You know what I'm saying here. Like, we all have something that is draining us. We all have something that we're pouring out to, and we got to pause and ask, well, where is this all coming from? And you might mention this point that I made in Matthew chapter 12, that you can only pour out what you've been storing up. Hey, And I think like that's so important because, remember, Matthew 12, what Jesus was saying here is that the Pharisees had stored up in themselves evil, and so what they were pouring out was evil. But if you store up good in you, then good is being poured out. And he says, look, you can know whether it's good or evil by, judge it by what? The fruit. So you look at the tree, you look what the fruit is being produced in its life, and Jesus says you can judge what's the input by the output. And I think the application for us, whether it be family or coworkers or neighbors or wherever that is, like we got to assess the treasury. Right? Is it empty? And how, if it is, how are we refilling? And if the treasury, if we allow the shepherd to fill that treasury, that's going to give us rest. That's going to give us a rooted version of ourselves. That's going to give us some confidence in the shepherd's care. That gives us sustainability. Because this whole crazy life is more like a marathon than a sprint. I was thinking about my own life and balancing the different things that I'm doing, and I really love leadership podcasts. And so I'm always listening to something, or as I'm on the treadmill or whatever, I'm trying to gain something. And I got to say, over the last, I don't know, couple of months, I've just kind of gotten really disheartened with the podcast that I'm listening. Maybe I got to change what I'm listening to, because I'm getting great advice, great leadership input, and those kinds of things, but it's kind of like when do we ever get a break? Because there's always about more. It's always about tweaking. It's always about adding one more little layer to your leadership. It's all about that, like, okay, well, you got this problem. Here's how you fix it, right? And again, I'm wired that way. Like, I love that. But I'm in the season where when I'm up from, you know, 2 to 3 with Judah, because he's, you know, can't sleep. And the only reason I'm up is because Becky's been up 4 times with him trying to feed him and keep him happy. And we, you know, he's teething. And it's just like, you know, so then it's like, you know, they always say, you got to save your 90 minutes, right? You got to keep your 90 minutes for yourself. That's your best time. And I'm just like, what 90 minutes? Like, when? When do you have that? As this 50-year-old who's raised his kids, and he's done with, he's not up in the middle of the night. He's getting 10 hours of sleep at night, right? And it's just like, who are you to give me advice right now? Like, give me something I can use, right? Like, come on. I was venting that at our staff meeting here a couple weeks ago. It's just like, good grief. But even for me, like, I need this reminder in Psalm 23 to slow it down, to kind of take a deep breath, to allow myself to remember that the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing, if that is true. And to rest in that truth, and to sit in that truth, and despite the chaos of a house or life and ministry and coaching and all the other things that we're doing, right, to be able to say, okay, that is truth, and if that's true, then I can continue to navigate this with the right frame of mind. And this is where I go back to the same similar tension that I began the sermon with, just asking slightly different questions now. So the question isn't, how do I escape to find rest? Because isn't this what we do? We're all really good about escaping, right? And so, you know, if we're a student and we don't want to go to class, what do? We skip. Right, we escape going to the class. We make up a lie that our dog ate our homework or whatever it is. Right, we figure out some way to get out of it. Now, this is not an indictment on those of you who love going on vacations. Listen, I'm a big fan of vacations, and we all should escape at some time, right? Maybe once a year, we should try to find some way of escaping and getting out of the county and just kind of getting some fresh air and finding those good rhythms. That's healthy. That's good. But if we think the only way to find rest is to escape, that's where we're into problems. And so I think a better question, and a more practical question that hits me, because I can't escape all of my stress, right? I can't escape a baby that needs to be held at 2 from 2 to 3 a.m. unless one of you want to come over, and then, you know, hey, we'll make that work. We'll set it up, right? But it's like, I can't escape that, right? There's a little baby that needs you, and I think parents, you know this, right? Like, those are the grinding years of being a parent. They refine you. So here's a question that I think is more tangible. Am I letting the shepherd be present in the middle of what I can't escape? Am I letting Yahweh lead me, shepherd me, care for me, even in the moments of things that I cannot escape? And I think as a parent, right, as I lead our boys, as we, you know, try to think about like our example of at work or whatever it might be, like we can't lead other people to places we have not been ourselves. And so when you think about your engagements this week and you think about your busy schedules and you're, you know, trying to you know, go, be on mission for Jesus, do kingdom work, right, all the things. If we are not sitting still by the stream, drinking up the water, eating the green meadows that the shepherd is leading us to first, we cannot take other people there. And so this is why we're doing a soul check-in. And so I have a movement for us as we kind of tie this together. Here's kind of my one movement for us that I hope we can maybe look at how we can apply this. Because I want to move from belonging to everyone and everything else to belonging to the shepherd first. This is the first move in this series as we look at kind of this spiritual formation, this shift to make intentionally so. Like before you belong to your job, before I belong to a sermon prep, you know, or ministry duties, or the to-do list, or obligations, before you belong to any of those other things, you belong to Him. And when that's true, and you start from that place, I think everything begins to get reordered. And maybe we stop running on fumes. And we stop always having our tank emptied. And you start living like someone who knows and has confidence in the shepherd's care. And to help us move in that direction and kind of getting this, I have a formational question that I want us to answer. And maybe you can't even answer it in these next moments as we have together. But this might be a question that you take and you ponder. Maybe you take a talk with your spouse or maybe even talk with your kids about, right? It's a question that I think might take some time to really think about. But what would it look like this week? And we've already started today, and it's Mother's Day, so I'm sure you already have your plans set for today. But tomorrow, Monday morning, what would it look like to start your day by remembering you belong to the shepherd before you belong to anyone? And I'll go ahead and say anything else. And maybe, you know, maybe the answers are more simple in that, you know, like dedicating yourselves to some prayer time or Bible reading time. Maybe it's taking Psalm 23, verse 1, and taking it to the window, the mirror in your bathroom. Because, as we know, sometimes that is the only place to find peace and quiet, right? Go to the bathroom. It's a great retreat spot. Right? Like, whatever you got to do, but, like, take a moment, right? Take that time. Maybe it's in your truck 60 seconds before you step out of your pickup to walk into the house or walk into work or whatever it is you're doing to remember the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe it's starting by confessing that we've been too busy with all these other things and just be really honest and candid that, Lord, I've been running on empty. And I know that I'm not filling up the way that I should. So I'm going to confess that. I'll be honest about it. Maybe that's where we start. But that is the journey, right? If we begin to answer this question, that's a formational question that we can begin to create a new pattern for our lives and finding ways to implement that. And my invitation to you would be to not just maybe read this verse, and not just memorize it for memorizing Scripture's sake, but to really let it form you. Like, let it sit in you. Read the Psalm 23 slowly and allow these things to, the Spirit of God will meet you in your moment and allow Him to fill you up with where you are. And I want to invite anyone who has not yet said yes to the Good Shepherd, right? Like, this is the opportunity. That we have a good shepherd who's worthy and is confident in the Yahweh. He's a God who fulfills His promises. He's a covenant keeper. So if He says He's going to be leading you into rest, then let Him do that. And this morning could be that morning. So let me pray for us as we consider these things. Lord God, I want to thank You for the opportunity to sit in your word, and remember these very basic foundational truths. You are our shepherd. You are a relational God. You are a personal God who desires only the very best for us. And that may mean that we need to slow down and say no to things and yes to your things. Lord God, I pray for humility, because it takes humility to recognize some of this. Lord, I pray for clarity of mind, of knowing what is the most important thing to be doing. Lord God, I pray that you would bring, even now, comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that even in moments of trial and struggle, you are meeting us in those places. In the valley, you meet us, not just always on the mountaintops. And so, Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity to just sit in verse 1. And would you speak to us as we spend some time looking at Psalm 23, at just as you met David in that place. Lord, would you meet us and give us that rest you promise? We thank you for Jesus. And we pray that in his holy and perfect name.